Okay, so last time, I think you were here, we finished Perek Chaf David. It's the story of the census. There's a plague, and then David ends with building a Mizbeach. And that's the site that's going to be the Beit HaMikdash. It's now in Yir David. It's not where he thought it was going to be, in Yerushalayim. It's just north of that, what we call Har HaBayit now. And then in Divrei Yomim, it continues. David says, "Zehu Beit Hashem Elokim. This is the house of God. Zeh Mizbech Olah Yisrael. This is going to be the altar where Bnei Israel are going to bring their korbanot." And then Divrei Yomim from that parak on continues all the details of David's plans for building Beit Hamikdash. He puts it all together. He gets the parts, divides it to the people, and he hands that off to his son Shlomo.
Yeah.
Divrei Hayamim was written by Ezra 400 years later.
No.
Right, so it's part of, so Mira is asking about who wrote Divrei Hayamim. So Divrei Hayamim is part of Ketuvim. Not the level of Nevuah the way Shmuel is, but it definitely is Kidvei Kodesh, but it's written with a different kind of aim in mind. It was written to kind of introduce those people coming back from the Galut about their history. So, you had this glorious history before, and we can rebuild it and go on from there. So he has a lot more details about kind of the religious side. David's much more perfect than he is in Shmuel. Shmuel tells about all the things that David did wrong. Divrei Yom tells us all about things that David did right. And so Shmuel ends with that revelation, building of that first Mizbeach. And Sefer Melachim goes from there and talks about the political history of David and then of the kings afterwards. Doesn't have the same focus that Divrei Yamim does. Before we get to that, I do want to look at Divrei Yamim and what David does in terms of planning the Beit HaMikdash. Before that, I want to look at this Haggadah. It's fascinating. And this is source two. Gemara in Sukkah, talking about the Shir HaMaala, the songs of the ascent, and then that there are 15 of those corresponding to the 15 steps in Beit HaMikdash, that the Levim would sing one in each one of those steps as they were going up. So Chamesh Esrei Malot. There were 15, again, 15 steps were created in order to correspond to those 15 Shir HaMaalot.
Danny.
Hey there. We're talking about Shir
Hi, Danny. Sorry.
HaMaalot. So good to see you. We're talking about the Shir HaMaalot. There are 15 Tehillim called Shir HaMaalot. There are 15 steps in the Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara in Sukkah asked about those. Amar le Rav Chista. So Rav Chista said, "Lahu mid Rabbanan, the Hava k'misader agadat kameh." And he said to the person, the rabbi who was designated to be studying agadat. We don't have his name, but the endowed chair in Agadata was learning in front of Rav Chista. Amrale. So Rav Chista asked him, "Shmielach, have you heard? Do you have a story at Agadata about this? Ani Chamesh Esrei Malot. These 15 steps, the 15 Shir HaMaalot, these 15 Prakim Tehillim. Connected me, Amram David. Why did David write them? What do they correspond to? Where do you get these 15 from?" Amrale. So the Agada guy says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is what I learned from Rabbi Yochanan. Shakara David Shitin. When David was digging out the Shitin, which were the pipes, the sewers underneath the Mizbeach. Think about the Mizbeach had all this blood and all this gore. They would basically flood the Beit HaMikdash and wash it down. They'd be pouring all this oil and all this wine, pouring all the water. Had to go somewhere. So it was a series of pipes went down underneath the Mizbeach and down into the underground caves, basically went all the way down to the home, to the down to the depths of the earth. So David's planning on the Beit HaMikdash, he's building this massive Mizbeach, he's digging out the Shittim. And when he was doing that, so that's in our story, right? He's built this Mizbeach that's gonna be in the Beit HaMikdash on Har HaBayit. Then Kafa Tahoma, the depths rose up, Mishpate Alma, and we're about to flood the world.
That doesn't sound good.
No, right? He's digging out and he Everyone ever read Henry's Awful Mistake?
No.
The kid's book about Henry, who's trying to impress his girlfriend, is cooking. He sees an ant and starts chasing the ant and ends up destroying his whole house and knocking into a pipe, flooding him all the way. That's what's going on here, right? The water flood wars are coming up. The Amar David Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot Tzfaridos. David sang his, wrote these 15 Shira Ma'alot, and the waters receded. We were saved. So Rav Chisda asked him, well, that's the story. If that's the case, Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, then why do we call them these songs of Ma'alot, Shir Ma'alot, of going up? Yordot Mevele should be called Shir HaYirida, of going down, if the water went down. Amarle. So I got a man says back to him, Hol ve'adkaran milta. Well, since you mentioned it, Hachi Itmar, this is the real story. Sit down, I'm going to tell you the whole story. That was the one-liner. B'shashakara David Shitin. When David is digging out the Yishitin, the sewers of the Mizbeah, and the Gemara in Sukkah doesn't have details, the Midrash Shmuel has a little more details. It says, "Kevan shakafar David, as David dug down elef chamesh miot ama, went down 1,500 amot, as he's digging it down. Matza bacheres, he found a shard. Not lo David. David pulled out this shard that was down, far down below. But Allah taham so, and it basically was the plug, and the waters of the deep started rising up. Kafat tahama." That's when the waters were rising up, and we're going to flood the world. So Amar David. David says, clearly this is something, you know, water doesn't normally do this. This is clearly something divine, something miraculous. I don't know what's going on, but mi'ikad yada. Is there anyone who can tell me, Ishari, if it's allowed, if it's permissible, lemichtiv shem akaspa? Can I write the name of God on this shard of pottery? Right, I'm going to write a prayer, do some Kabbalistic amulet. I'm going to write the name of God on this and then throw it back in to the water, and I'll be able to stop the water. But am I halakhically allowed to do that? And I'm going to throw that into the deeps, and the waters will go down. It's a halakhic question. I'm going to write the name of God, but it's going to be erased.
That sounds very superstitious.
It does.
Like an amulet, or, you know, I don't know.
So, I mean, this is a Gaddic. I'm not gonna necessarily take this literally, but we try to see how what it means. He's gonna do it right. We want, but the question that's being asked is: it halakhically allowed to basically destroy the name of God when I do this? Right, I'm gonna write it on there. It's gonna throw it in. It's gonna be wiped out. I can't do this. Disrespectful. Am I allowed to do this? And he's there. The water is rising. All of his men are around. They're working. And nobody says anything. Nobody knows what to tell him. Amar David. So David goes on. Kol diyada lemeimar b'no omer. If anybody really knows what the law would be, it doesn't say anything. Yechanek b'gorno, means they choke to death. We're all going to drown. So nasa Achitofel. So Achitofel, remember Achitofel, thinks nasa kal v'chomer basmo. And he thinks about a halachic reasoning. He thinks about kal v'chomer. What is it? What's it like? You know, when I'm writing the name of God on this jar, I'm throwing it into the water. That sounds exactly like the Sota ritual, where you write a pasuk, include the name of God, and you erase it into the water. So here's a kal v'chomer. Umal lasot shalom ben ish l'ishto. That if in order to make peace between husband and wife, we must settle the question of Sota of infidelity. Amra Torah, in that the Torah says in that case, Shemisha Nechta B'Kedusha, my name, my holy name, written down, Yimachal HaMayim, should be erased on the water. That's the halacha. Then, Laso Shalom L'Chol HaOlam, so if we're going to make peace for the whole world, remember the water's rising here, and it's going to wipe out the world, well, Olam Kulo, the whole world, Acha Kama certainly should be permissible. Should I do that? So Amar Lay, so he tells David, Shari, it's okay, go ahead and do that. So Katav Shem Akas Chaspa. So he writes the name on this shard, Vishari Latahoma, and throws it into the water. Venirke Tahoma, and the deeps ebbed back. Shetar Alpe Garmidi. It went down 16,000 amot. 8 kilometers down. Kichazi did Dachi Tuva, when David sees how far they had gone down, Amar, he said, Kama de Midilei, the further the waters, the higher the waters are, Tfei Mertav Alma, the wetter, the more water the world will be. The waters go that far away, we're going to be in a drought situation again. I can't let the water go that far away. I don't want to be flooded, but I don't want the water gone entirely. So that's Amar Chamesh Esrei Malo. That's when he said the 15 Shira Malo, to bring the water back. Aske Chamesar Alfe Garmidi, and those 15 Tehillim, the water went up for 15,000 Amot. Okme Ba'alfa Alpa Garmidi, and remained 1,000 Amot below the level of the Beit Mikdash. And we were all saved. That's the Igarata. And the gods would take it seriously, not necessarily literally. So David is building the Mizbeach. He's about to get flooded out, and he asks for advice, and the advice is given to him by Abshalom. Who's Abshalom? Achitophel, rather. Who's Achitophel?
Was he a bad guy?
He ends up being a bad guy. He is David's chief advisor, military advisor. He's Bathsheba's grandfather.
Oh, it's Bathsheba's grandfather.
And he ends up being Avshalom's lead advisor when Avshalom rebels. So when Avshalom, David's son, rebels against David, Achitophel is the one who urges him on, who tells him what he's supposed to do. Achitophel is the leader of that rebellion. So at that point, he's a bad guy. But here in this...
Wasn't he like a really learned Jew?
Yes. He's always like described as the one is
like a Torah teacher and stuff.
Right. So the Pirkei Avot says that he taught David, and the pasuk says that Divrei Achitophel like Divrei Elokim. That was like, Achitophel gave advice, and it was like God giving him advice. So that's why he's here, right? This is not he's not rebelling against David. He's helping. This is before the rebellion. He's helping David. So what this Agada does, it connects our parah. About the building of the Beit Hamikdash, building of the Beit Hamikdash, building the Mizbeach, and location of that Mizbeach, and how the Beit Hamikdash will end up being here. It connects that to the story of Bathsheba. To make up the last third, like what I call season three of Sefer Shmuel. This is an appendix, our parak. But here we have this connection there. Because the middle third, season two of Sefer Shmuel, Zohar David, and how he wants to build the Beit Midash. That's all he wants to do. I wanted to get moved to Jerusalem, I want to build the Midash. And that disappears in the later chapter, right? When we get to Bathsheba, we don't see anything of Beit Midash. This, I got to basically connects those two, says that his efforts to build the Beit Midash were going on as the background to Bathsheba's story.
Wow.
It's going on at the same time, right? Bathsheba, the whole thing occurs over, including the Absalom rebellion and all that, occurs over the course of 20 odd years. And meanwhile, this whole dealing with the building of the Mizbeach is happening.
Wow.
And we talked about Zagata when we talked about Achitophel. And how do we understand this? And this is always from Rav Madan. He has a book basically called Megillah Bathsheba. We talked about Bathsheba. He sees this. He's looking at this. What does it mean to say that David is being threatened with a flood that's going to wipe out the world? Right, that the home is going to rise up. You've seen that. So that's basically what happened with the original flood. That's what this is hinting at. What happened in back in time of Noah? What's the original flood? Vayiru b'nei Elohim, the sons of the leader of the powerful people, translate Elohim that way. B'nei Adam saw the women, kitavahena, and thought they were beautiful. Vayichulahem nashim mikol asher bacharu, and they took whichever women they wanted. That was the sin. And therefore, Hashem, I will not judge people forever. I will not wipe them out. Since they're only flesh. And so I'll give them another 120 years. Time that Noach is building the table. So Hashem tells Noach, that the end of all flesh has come before me. Because the whole world is full of violence because of them. And I'm going to wipe them out. So the underlying Hamas was this. Rabbanan says David is guilty of the same sin. Looking at Bathsheba, what happened there? He sees a beautiful woman. He wants her. He's the king. He gets her. That's it. Same sin as that led to the original flood. So that's what this that's what's going to happen now. The Midrash has seen it. Threads the same fate. Hafat Tahoma, the Tahom, the deeps rise up, Ubala Mishtafe Al Amma, and are going to flood the world. And then we see that the solution is in the laws of Sota. So by the law of Sota, when it says, you will write down this parak that has all these curses in Sota. Hakohen Basepo, Cohen writes them down on a scroll, Machal Memarim, and erases them. And then Bishkat Aisha and Memarim, and then the woman has to drink them. Baimarim Hamarim Lamarim, and then this bitter cursed water will come into her. So if we're reading this story, again, reading it seriously, not necessarily literally, David's not threatened by a physical flood. That's not actually what's happening. The Medagat is hinting at that's what will happen there. He's threatened by the consequences of his actions with Bathsheba and Uriah. You have to remember all those. And those consequences are going to overwhelm what he sees as his purpose, right? He wants to build a Beit Midrash, but he can't do that. He can't be a melech. He can't be seen as a king that's mishpat dakaz, all righteousness, if he's a tyrannical dictator who's just stealing women, stealing married women because he can. And the fact that everyone knows this is not a secret, means that he can't actually lead the people. So he cannot build this Beit Midrash. That's what's going to flood. He's trying to build this Mizbeach here. He's digging the foundations of it, and he's going to get washed away by what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah. And the way Gemara describes it, it's humiliation, really. Amar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, David says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Galui v'yadua l'fanecha. You, it's fully revealed. You know full well. Shim aya mekrayim basari. If they would tear out my flesh, lo yadami shote la'aretz, I wouldn't even bleed. Right? They couldn't hurt me. But they're hurting me emotionally. Lo, even more than that. La'fil b'shash oskim b'negayim v'aholot. The truth is right now, when the people are learning laws of Tumat Tahara, learning about Tzara'at, they're learning laws of Ohel and Tuma, Omrimli, they tell me, David, Habal Esha Ish, Mitato B'ma. Right, sarcastically, hey David, we were learning all of this halacha stuff, but commit adultery, what's the punishment? Everyone's reminding, no matter what, everyone's reminding him about what happened with Bathsheba. Banir Merlehem, and I'll tell him back, Mitato B'chenek, you're right. Such a person is put to death, put to death by strangulation. But that such a person will still get a place in Olam Haba. But if someone embarrasses someone else in public, in lo chelak olam haba, he's going to answer them back. Well, you don't try to embarrass me. You have no place in Olam Haba. It's worse. So no matter where I go, David says, everyone's pointing at me. Everyone's laughing at me. I have no respect. But now Ahitophel, David's chief advisor and the grandfather of Bathsheba, basically is in this Agada, is going to give the people's response to David. He's going to decide, is he going to forgive David for what happens? He's going to wipe out, or he's going to wipe out David's kingdom. That's what he's got to decide. And that Kal Vachomer is to say it's like the case of Sota. We're going to make Shalom. It's worth it. I'm willing to ignore what happened to Bathsheba. We're going to let it go because keeping the peace is more important. He will change his mind later with the whole rebellion with Avshalom. He's going to destroy David, but we discussed that last time when we looked at the Prakim inside that connected with the birth of Shlomo. So right now we have sort of a chronology for this parak about building the Mizbeach. Assuming we take this Agata and the way we're analyzing it, that somewhere between the sin with Bathsheba and Shlomo's birth, which probably was a course of 5 years, we have this incident happening. So about 10 years into David's rule in Yerushalayim. Or about 20 years from there until his death, where he's working on the Beit HaMikdash. So Rashi assumes that the whole Sefer Shmuel is in chronological order. I mean, the Perek of the Mizbeach is way at the very end. He has a problem then, because it's got Achitofel in here, and Achitofel is already dead by the time you get to the last Perek, if you take it all in chronological order.
I thought other times that things were out of order.
Right, and I have no problem with saying that. I'm going to read Rashi here, who takes it in order, based on the Seder Olam. So Rashi's trying to figure out what's going on here, because he's reading this Medrash. It talks about Achitofel, and David is building the Mizbeach. He's digging the foundations for it. And Achitofel actually dies 4 Prakim earlier. Rashi says this on the Gemara here. Sherei lo kana David agori mar arvana, because David didn't buy this threshing floor that's going to be the place of the Beit Midash from Arvana the Yebusi. Ad maaseh da hasata, until this incident where he was enticed to conduct the census. Chaytel acha mitat Achitofel gimel shanim. That was after Achitofel died by 3 years, the way Rashi's reading. The feederim halalu, and therefore we have to say tzrichin olamar. We are forced to say she'afal pishlo kana hagoren, that even though he hadn't bought this threshing floor, this hilltop. Yadua hayumin arav, that David knew where the Mizbeach was supposed to be built. From the time he was young. Yom shenimshach, from the time that he was anointed, yashvuhu Shmuel ben Avayot Ramah, that he and Shmuel sat together trying to figure out where they're going to put the Beit Midah. Talked about that, that's from Gemara. When David's on the run from Shaul, he stays in Shmuel's yeshiva in Ramah, and they figure out where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be. They decide it's going to be near Shalayim.
Is that also Midrash? I don't remember that.
That is a Midrash agreed. So the story of David and Shmuel being together is in the text.
It is, okay.
It is. And then the fact that David and Shmuel planned the Beit HaMikdash, where it would be, what it would look like, that's in Divrei Yamin. It talks about that. When Shlomo actually builds it, it says, David and Shmuel did it. And the only time we see David and Shmuel talking to each other, actually twice, once when he's anointed, where Shmuel doesn't say anything to David, he just, you know, it's when he goes to Yishai and he says, this son, no, it's not none of these sons, don't you have any other sons? Oh, yes, the little one over there. But the only time they actually spend time together is that one time described in Shmuel Aleph, when David's on the run. So the Gemara assumes that that's when they worked on this together. And it talks about the fact they didn't know where the Beit Midrash was going to be, and they eventually decide it's going to be in Yerushalayim. Matzah makom lebeit Midrash, ketiv, amzeh makom. That's the Gemara. We've talked about that. Karchinim leib zvachim is a makoman, right? And the Gemara in zvachim. B'chafar yis resodo b'rosho. So Rashi's going to say that he knew where the place was. He had been digging it years beforehand, even before he bought it from Arnon. Marsha on this says that doesn't make any sense. The text clearly indicates that David had put the Aron in Ir David. He had planned it for Yerushalayim, but he didn't know the exact location. And it's clear from our story that it was complete surprise when this Malach comes and points to this hilltop north of Yerushalayim, Gora and Arnon. That was right. So that to say that he knew beforehand doesn't make any sense. So this is the Marsha. Although Ketuvim b'Sefer Divrei.
Yeah, is that the same place as Harabayit or?
Yes. Yeah, that's Harabayit.
Oh, because it seems to me that Ir David, I mean the Ir David that we know today, seems further north than Harabayit.
No, it's south of Harabayit.
No, I know it's south, but I'm saying it's also. Oh yeah, I'm thinking east. All right, never mind.
Yeah, so basically Harabayit
is north of Ir David. Yeah.
The Harabayit, Ir David is like this, basically the slope outside, almost outside the old city.
Yeah.
Towards Silwan.
Yeah, but it's further east also than Harabayit.
Yeah.
I was thinking east.
A little bit. North. Yeah. But again, there was Yerushalayim, like that was Ir David, and then in this parish, David's told, no, this is not, that's not the site. I want you to build it over here in this Gora, this threshing floor, this hilltop.
Okay.
Okay. So the Marsha is bothered by Rashi. Ketuvim b'sefer Divrei Hayamim. If you read the text in Divrei Hayamim, prove that's not the case. The pasuk says, "Vayomer David." We quoted it. Zehu Beit Elokim. This is going to be the house of God. Near Mizeh seems to be from here. Sha'ar Hayomahu. Until that day, lo yada shehu Beit Elokim. David had no idea that this was the place was going to be. I mean, he had already decided in Yerushalayim, but he didn't have the right location. Gam dachuk. It's also hard. It's far fetched to say. Ech karash sitin begorin Arnon. How could he have been digging the foundations in this threshing floor, Terem Shekanato, before he bought it? And he goes to Arnon and says, "I want to buy it from you." Sharei lo ratzal lo cham olah, that because he didn't want to even offer a sacrifice there, Ashkenaz, until he buys it. Gam ilo yada zman rav mekodem hasata, and even if, and even more so, if he actually knew before the whole census incident, then lama lo kanato azme Arnona. Why did he buy it beforehand? Why did he establish bring the Aron into Ir David? So Nira Bazeh. So he's going to have a hypothesis. He's still going to take for granted that the our parak is after the death of Achitophel. Let's see. The Gam Shitin Shel Yesoda Nivru Misheshim Ebreshit, that the underlying sewers on the foundation of the Beit of the Mizbeach were there from creation, right? It's all hollow caves underground. Kalim, they're hollow of Yodin Matahom, and would go down to the depth. But the David Kara Shitin Techila B'Shom Makomer. But this story is taking place where he's trying to build his Mizbeach in the wrong place, in Ir David. Behind Be'en Yatim, which is what Gemara talks about, the place where he first thought. The Sabra Mikara Lubinde Be'en Yatim, because the Gemara says, I don't know where En Yatim is, but that's where he first thought to put the Beit Midash. The Eitim Perak is Makaman, as says the Gemara. Rami David Sham Atzitz Shiakabush Al Tahom, and that's where he finds this shard that was that was covering the depths. Uvala Meshtefe Alma Mefusha El, and that's where the point where it's going to flood the world. Uvazera Ad David She'enzim Makaman. That in fact was what David figured out. Oh, this is obviously the wrong place. I better stop now and go wait till God gives me the sign. That's the Marsha. So I hate to disagree with Rashi, but I would have much simple explanation that our parak is an appendix to the story. It happens well before the rebellion of Absalom, well before the suicide of Achitophel. So it gives us this kind of dialectic, this two sides of the story of David. He's the villain of the Batsheva story. He's doing it all wrong. He's the hero of Divrei Yomim as he's building the Beit Midash. They're happening at the same time. You have to read it that way, as both these things happen. So we end the story. The waters come back up, right? They're going to flood the world. They go back down. And then he says, no, Shir HaMalot, they come back up. That's going to talk about the Shir HaMalot. We'll talk about the water, a metaphor for Torah, etc. We're going to have to talk about Shir HaMalot in detail. We'll get to that. Before that, there's a Perek Tehillim that talks about the flood. And what David's feeling about at this time. And that's Perek Samach Tet. They say 60, it should be 69. Yes, Perek Samach Tet. And it starts at Lamnaseach al Shoshanim David, the conductor on the Shoshanim. So most Mefarshim take this as a metaphor for Israel in exile. Shoshanim, Rashi says, al Yisrael Shehem Kashoshanim ben Achokim, but Israel is like the rose among the thorns. Shochim nakvim otam nitbalele, you're all threatened by the thorns, and David's going to pray for that. And continues, Hoshini Elokim kibo mayim anefesh. Save me, O Lord, because the water is rising. Nefesh here, usually translated to my neck, but it's rising to the point that my life is in danger. Very much this image of drowning. Tabati biyaben mitzula, I am drowning in the mud of the deeps. Ve'en ma'amad, I have no place to stand. Bati bayam kemayim, I am in the deep waters. Ve'shalevet, ve'shabolet, she'taftani, and the whirlpools are sweeping me away. Igati bikari nacha garani. I'm crying out as my throat closes up. My eyes are weak as I pray to God. That's the first part of this. And the way Alshik says that Hene Razal Pershu Mizmerzer Albane Agalia. That Razal interpret this about Israel in, as a metaphor for Israel in exile. It came to Pidar Kamze, Yecholabo Arba Galiot, and as a hint here to the four Galiot, we have Babel, Yavan, Babel, Mada, Yavan, and Edom, right? And part of the hint there is that it says Tavati biyavan mitsula, right? And right, and Yavan is it's an unusual word, and to us it means Greece. So once you mention Greece in here, I'm drowning in Greece. Greece. Then obviously it's got to be connected to Hanukkah, exile Greece, and so that's where the Farshim go with that. But literally, it means the muck, the mire, the sticky mud you can't get out of. You have that until a mem. I'm sorry?
Like quicksand.
Quicksand, yeah. Yaleni mi bor sha'on. The guy has brought me out of the deep pit. Metit hayavan, ayaven. From the sticky mud, the mortar. Yakom sala raglai, God has given me a rock for my legs. Konen ashurai, he's set my feet straight. That's until a mem, which much more positive, he's escaped from the mud. Here he's not. But the idea of flooding as a metaphor for suffering of Bnei Israel as a whole is not a common metaphor. With the Tehillim, everywhere else, there's famine, we have war, insults, embarrassment, busha, all that. You don't see floods anywhere else. Something that's very specific thing here he's talking about. Here, the only other time it appears in Tehillim is David's personal prayer, which is Tehillim Yodchet, that the Lametzeach, the Eved Hashem David, Asher Dibir, Hashem, Ejber Shira Zot. This is Shirat David, Yom Yitzil Hashem, Mikav Kol Ebav, Miyad Sha'ul, when he saves him, that this was David's prayer whenever he was saved from his enemies. And there it says, Vayiru Efikei Mayim, Vayigolu Mrs. Vostei Tevel, that the world, the springs of water were afraid of you, O God, as they revealed the foundations of the earth, Migaratcha Hashem, Yishmat Ruach HaPecha, from your wind, Yishlach Mimram Yecheni, God had reached down to the depths and took me out, Yimushemi my Rabim, pulled me out of the many waters. David's saying, I was saved from flooding, which I think is the basis of our Medrash, right? That David himself was saved from the flood. Now, there are two prototypes.
The only time you see something like this is with Yonah, no? He's thrown overboard, and then he's saved.
Yes, that's a good point. Right. That's the storm. It's not the flood waters encompassing him. He doesn't actually talk about floods. We'll look at that in more detail. I'm looking at two cases in Tanakh where they talk about floods.
You're breaking up a little, Danny.
All right. I'm looking at two cases where it talks about flooding specifically to try and figure out where this metaphor is going, where this parak is going here. So there's the original flood, the Mabul, which we are reconnected directly to David's life, that he felt the Mabul was coming on him as he's trying to build his Be'ah. And then the Kriyat Yam Suf. Hashem brings the flood on the Egyptians. And the Gemara makes that connection directly. Talking about Kriyat Yam Suf and Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda, this is after a discussion of whether they wanted to jump in or not. Now, Yehuda answers, says, Ze Omer, Eina Nirei Tefila, the Bnei Israel were on the edge of the water in Yam Suf, and each one was saying, I'm not going to go in. Ze Omer, Eina Nirei Tefila, the other one was saying, I'm not going to go in first. And they're all looking at each other, what they're going to do. And we all know what happens next. And the Medrash, Kafatz, Nachshon Bnei Minadav, Nachshon jump. Ben jumped in, v'yarad la'am yam, and he jumped in first. Shemar paskin hashaya. It says, "Savuri b'chachash Ephraim, u'mirma b'nei Yisrael." That Ephraim and Yisrael surrounded me with deceit. Yehuda od rad, but Yehuda still went down in Emkel with God. That's Yehuda going into the Yamsuf first. Well, I'm first with Kabbalah and our pasuk. This reading this prayer as Nachshon's prayer. Hoshini Elokim kibon mayim an nefesh. It says that he's saying, save me, God, as the water comes to the inch of my life. And then Tavati bidei mitzula, I am drowning in the mud of the depths. I have no place to stand. And our puzzle continues. Al tiftetei shibolet mayim. Don't let the whirlpools wipe me away. Al tivleni mitzula, and that man not be swallowed up by the depths. Again, reading this as looking at Nachshon, jumping into the water. Lefichah zachi Yehuda lasot memshela b'Yisrael, and that's why Yehuda became the leader of Israel. As it said, "Hayta Yehuda kol kodesho Yisrael mamshelotav." Yehuda was the became the memshela, became the leader of Israel because of the fact that Nachshon led them in the first place. Matam, Hayta Yehuda lekodesho Yisrael Yisrael mamshelotav. Why did Yehuda get this memshela, this leadership? Mishum of the Hayamra Avayanos, because when the sea saw and ran and split. We can look at our parak as being connected to the past, pre-Yamsuf. And there are, you can look at it as referring to David, or you can look at it as looking at the future of Bnei Yisrael in Galut, and they're all valid. Tehillim, that's what Tehillim is. It's where you can read it as doing talking past, present, and future at the same time. And reading that David's going to face his metaphor of drowning, just as his ancestor did. David's going to jump into the sea there, and Knesset Yisrael, we will continue to do that, face the danger, and go on. So now I'm going to look at this parak. Again, it starts out talking about David saying, "I'm drowning," and we said that was metaphoric, as becomes clear, because then it switches to much more a whole statement about how embarrassed he is. He's humiliated. Everyone's making fun of him. Rabu Misa wrote Rashi Sonai Chinam. Right? More numerous than the hairs of my head are those people who hate me for no reason. Matzmitei Oyvei Sheker. Let's see how we translate that. Apologize for not doing this before. We go. Atzmu matzmitai, that those who would destroy me become stronger. Oyvai sheker, my. Those who hate me, the liars who hate me, Asher lo gazalti as ashiv. I don't even translate that.
I
They
thought
not,
Chazal was stealing.
yeah, that's what he's saying, that Asher lo gazalti as ashiv, that they want me to return things I haven't stolen. They're accusing me of stealing, that everything I have,
Oh.
they think I've stolen. That's not true, right? They're my lying enemies who claim I've stolen and demand that I pay them back. Elkim atayadati dati la'alvati. God, you know what my sins are. Bashmatayim and my iniquity is not hidden from me. I can't deny it. I know I'm not all right. Again, we're looking at this in the aftermath of Bathsheba. He knows he's wrong, but they're all going far, far further than that. Hashem Elohim. So, and therefore, may those who actually trust in you, God, not be insulted, not be humiliated because of me. If I'm the one who represents serving Hashem and I did this, now it tarnishes everything associated with Avodat Hashem. a contemporary note that's like effective altruism as an ethical system. It doesn't sound like a terrible thing, but the fact that Sam Bankman-Fried, who just stole all that money, was an advocate of it, tarnishes the whole enterprise.
But then he pretends like he didn't know anything about it.
You're talking about Fried.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not, I don't want to get too much into the contemporary stuff here, but David at least is saying that that's the problem with what happened here, right? If I want to build the Beit HaMikdash, I did this with Bathsheba, I had Uriah killed, then obviously the Beit HaMikdash is now tainted. And anyone who wants to build it is obviously that's a it becomes a bad thing. So that's what he's dying for. Al yikalmu bi, do not let them be humiliated because of me, mevakshecha, those who seek you, Elkei Yisrael, God. Yeah, alacha nisati cherpa, because I have basically I have thrown my humiliation on you. I have humiliated you, God. This I'm guilty of this. Kastachil klima panai, and my humiliation is covering me. Muzar hayiti lachi, I'm a stranger to my brothers, v'nachri l'vnei'imi. Another way of saying the same thing. I'm an alien to the sons of my mother. Right? No, my family doesn't. No one wants to recognize me anymore. Nobody wants any sense of me. Because the kin'ah, my zealousness for your house has consumed me. That's kind of what we've been saying all this time. That he's so focused on.
Wow, he's admitting that he was obsessed.
And that's exactly what that means, right? Kinat betcha achaltani. This obsession I have. I mean, it's a positive thing, but I've forgotten everything else, right? I'm not using the money I've accumulated to help the poor. I'm not establishing tzedakah here. I'm willing to do this with Bathsheba, as we said, because he wants this heir who will build the Beit HaMikdash. That's why he thinks, okay, that's a sign. Bathsheba must be mine, and whatever it takes, right? I want to translate that. That the cherpot, that the taunts of those who taunt thee are fallen upon me, right? They're making fun of you now, Hashem, because of me. This is all my fault. Okay, this is what he's saying. He's going from the literal drowning, there's obviously a metaphor for this feeling of being just drowning in this humiliation. So I will cry and fast. And I will deal cherpotli, and I will bring all this humiliation on myself. And elvush, I will wear a sackcloth. And they're going to talk to talk, they're going to talk about me. I am mashal. I'm going to become a metaphor. What it means to the path to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm just an example of that. Yisichu bi yoshvei shaar, they're going to talk about me in the streets. Niginot shotei shechar, and I am going to be the song of those who are of drunkards. Shotei shechar, people who drink beer. They're going to sing about me. I'm going to become the object of everybody's laughter. But banita, as for me, my prayer is for you. May it be in a time of that is ratzon, that you find fit, maybe a time that you find favor, El Kimbra Fasecha, of God in your great mercy. Anani, answer me, Bemet Yeshecha, the truth of your salvation. This is my trouble. Save me. And that ends the first part of this paragraph. I'm drowning. That drowning is, I'm drowning in the insults and the mockery. I need to feel a tilacha, and I'm not going to pay attention to them. All I have is my prayer. And I will remember growing up, we used the Birnbaum sitter. Remember the Birnbaum sitter?
Yeah, I
Oh, yeah.
like Paramount Theater.
Birnbaum sitter. You ever read the introduction to the Birnbaum sitter?
I read parts of it.
He talks about how his translation is so much better than the kind of Bible English, how fancy it is. He likes his translation is much more modern English than anything it
I
had.
think for his time, it was
It was very much so.
more
And
accessible for.
no these and thou. Well, he still kept the these and thous. At least he had English there. But he makes a couple of comments, examples. And he says, the circumlocution, and as for me, repeated four times in Matovu, is not implied by ani. Right? This pasuk, by need to feel a tilacha, Hashem may rotso. Everyone translated, and as for me, may I prayer, right? He would say that's wrong. And I would say he's wrong. First off, I have no idea what repeated four times means. I looked at this a couple of times. He definitely says four times. I don't see it. I only see three times in Matot. You can look at the text in Matot. But anyway, that's ex I think that's exactly what Bani in our pasuk means. Bani tefilati means as for me. Because I talk about what everyone else is saying. Everyone else is talking about me. I don't care. I'm going to talk about you, God. And Yeshayahu Hadari, who's at the Shiva Kotel, has a lecture, so I can't quote it directly. But you can click on there and listen to him. That Bani Tefilati is not talking, that not David talking about prayer or about his prayer. He's saying that he is. Bani Tefilati means I am my prayer. That's my whole identity. That's why my identity is his tahut im tefillah is his words. It's identifying with the tefillah. David, who has shaliach tzibur shel Yisrael b'chol darot. David is the shaliach tzibur. He's leading our tefillot. That's why we look at David in Tehillim as the one. He is the tefillah. And that's teaching us by the nature of tefillah that we need to identify with it, that we need to mean it. It means that we have to put all of our soul into that tefillah. That automatically makes it an eid ratzon. Hashem will find favor with it. Hashem will answer us then. And that would be a lovely perek right there. But it's not where it ends. Because he repeats the whole theme again in the next half of the perek. He's stuck in the mud, he's drowning in the whirlpool, and Hashem answers. Mitit, save me from the mud, al etva, and I won't drown. Nesla, nisonai, save me from, I will be saved from my enemies, mayim, from the deep waters. May I not be swept away in the whirlpools. Mitsula, may the deeps not swallow me up. Ba'al Be'er Pia, and may the Be'er, the well not close its mouth on me, seal its mouth on me. I don't want to drown. And Aneni Hashem, so God answer me, because your mercy is good, my in your great loving kindness, face me, don't hide your face from me, Kitzarli, Maher Aneni, I'm in trouble, answer me quickly. Kabral nafshiga Allah, come close to me and save me. Laman oyvay and redeem me from my enemies. What's different here is that even after that, the humiliation comes. He's not answered. He keeps going about how he's still being humiliated, embarrassed. Atayadata kherpati, you know. I'm insulted, Roshti, I am embarrassed, Vachimati, I'm humiliated. Nedacha called Sarai, all my troubles, they're in front of you. Barapashevra libi, humiliation has broken my heart, Vanusha, and I'm going to translate Nusha, weak. Vanusha, and I'm sick. Okay. Vakavelanud, I hope to, I'm trying to run away. I'm trying to move for Ayan, but there's no place to run away. I hope for someone who's going to comfort me. Do I have any friends left? I can't find any comfort at all. Bivruti Rosh. They are giving me, literally, in my health. For my health, they're giving me Rosh, which is wormwood. I have no idea what wormwood is. Always,
Rosh is
yeah.
wormwood.
Always translated as Ochlani Rosh. I don't say enough worm. I don't know. I'm not. It's translated that. I'm not sure what wormwood means. It just means wormy wood. It's a bad thing to have.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's rot. In other words, they're giving to me briyoti, literal briyoti meaning things for my health. They're calling it health food. With some e for my thirst, yashkuni chometz. They're making me drink vinegar. Right? That's mocking. Right, they're giving me the Rosh and they're calling it Briut. They're giving me vinegar, calling it, say, here, drink this. Okay, like I say, that's middle school cafeteria level bullying. That's what he's seeing himself. Everyone's just making fun of him, laughing. Here, drink this. That's hilarious. And so then he goes on again. This is after praying to Hashem to answer, and he's stuck still in this case of being humiliated. So then he continues on from those bitter paths of Tehillim. He prays that his enemies are all destroyed. Unusual for Tehillim. May their table be a trap. And their shlamim offerings shall be a snare for them. They get trapped in the they're giving me this terrible food and make fun of me. Their food rot be a trap for them. The shechekna and may their eyes be too dark to see. May they go blind. But nehem tamid ma'ed, let their thighs continually shake. There we go. The legs should always be shaking. Pour out thy wrath upon them. And your anger should reach them. Their habitation be desolate.
Oh, that's the same as Tirat Zvi. I think that's the same word.
No, Tirat as a tower.
Oh, I don't
Here
know
as you translate tower. And in their tents may there be no settlers, right? Wipe out their cities, Hikita, because they are chasing the one who you have already punished. Right? That's adding insult to injury. Right? Asher Hikita, talking to God, you've already punished me. I've already suffered from Bathsheba. We've gone through all this with Tamar and Amnon and Avshalom, and they're still mocking me. They're still running after me. And they keep talking about how all the pain that you have caused me. It's not Avon. So you add sin on their sins. Punish them not only for what they're doing, but for what they're making me do, what they see in me. Al yavo. And may they not participate in your righteousness. They're not righteous. They're gossiping. Maybe they wiped out from the book of life. I mean, he invents this image of Sefer Chaim. They're talking about Rosh Hashanah. That's from here. That's from this paragraph over here. Sefer Chaim. He invents this. He is the poet here in order to say, oh, I want you to erase them from your book. Just to have something to erase them from.
But that was Moshe used that about telling him to erase him from his book.
He doesn't use the term Sefer Chaim.
Oh, but I'm just saying the same idea.
It is the same idea, but that we turn this as that, the idea God has a Sefer Chaim, that's wonderful. Here David is saying, like, I want you to just erase them all. Okay, he is angry. May they not be listed among the righteous. But this is Taylor. So he's not going to stay angry, right? He pulls himself out of this black anger and calls himself Ani Uchoev. He realized, I am afflicted. I am in pain here. So what am I going to do? The answer is not to go cursing everybody else. I'm going to write Tehillim. That's what I can do with my anger and my humiliation. Ani Uchoev. I am afflicted. I'm in pain. Yeshua Elokim Tisagevni, and so your salvation, let's go over here, will bring me on high, will pull me up. Allah Shem Elokim Bashir, and I will praise God with my song. And I will make God great with my thanksgiving. May it be better for God than an ox. Makrina mafris with horns and with hooves. That this, may my song be better than a karba. At this point, I'm close to building the Beit HaMikdash, building of his Mizbeach. I'm failing here. I realize that I can't do anything, but I still have my shear. That's going to have to be good enough. So now those who reflected should see this and they should be happy. Right? This is their response to the insults, slings and arrows of outrageous fate, as we might say. So those who seek God, you, those who seek God should see what God I'm going through, and you should, your hearts will be revived. You can be happy now. I can still sing Shira. Kishamala elav yunim Hashem, because God hears the poor. Lo asirav lo bazah, and he will, God will not despise those who are imprisoned, those who are stuck. There's no reason to be despair. We can come back. And so we're going to end on a happy note. Yaluch Hashemayim v'aretz. The whole, I'm praising you, God. The whole earth and heavens and earth are going to praise you. Yamim v'chol remes bam. And now the seas, right? They were at the beginning of the parak, they're drowning me. Now they're joining me in my chorus. It's a praise God. Yoshi Yetzion. Now we're going to go back to the Beit HaMikdash. God will save Tzion, Yibaneh Yarei Yehuda. He will rebuild. He will build the cities of Yehuda, Yeshu, Basham, Yeshua. They will dwell there. We can get this better. Zera Avadav Yenchaluha, and his servants will inherit this rebuilt Yarei Yehuda. Those who love God will dwell there. So I'm drowning in this humiliation. I will turn to my shear, and things will get better from here. That's the message of Tilim Samach.
So he's still talking about basically that we'll dwell on Beit Elohim.
Yes, that's still where he wants to go. There's no question about it. He's going to deal with, he's going to pull out of out of the drowning. And he's going to do it with the shear, which is exactly what the Shir HaMaalot are. They're all about coming back into Beit Hashem. The one we quote all the time is B'shuv Hashem Mitzvah Tzion. An example of that. But they're all like that. They're all songs of Aliyah into the Beit Hamikdash. So that's going to be the next.
He really never fully recovers from the whole thing with Bathsheba and his family.
He doesn't, right? We end here. He doesn't build a Beit Hamikdash. He builds a Mizbeach, and that's it. And he sets it up.
I'm just saying, in terms of his life, his whole life, he basically, after that's the same with Bathsheba, he basically, he never, there's really never an end to his suffering.
I will say on that's the way Sefer Shmuel is written.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what
You
I'm.
know, I'm saying, but if you think about it more in terms of taking place over 20 years, there's a lot of other things that must have happened then. Now we have all the negative parts of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, we have these other hints there, right? We have these appendices, which are not necessarily positive, but aren't necessarily Bathsheba connected. We're going to end up building the Beit, preparing the Beit Midash. We have all of the stories that we're going to see in Divrei Hayamim about him preparing for building Beit Midash. It's not that everything was centered around that. There was a period of time from Bathsheba to the end of Avshalom. I think it really does, he comes back to Yerushalayim after Avshalom.
Yeah.
It doesn't destroy everything. We don't have a lot of history after that, but still, he does the tshuva, and that is accepted. So there's more to the story of David than just Bathsheba.
The
But
story's
yes,
not over, in other words.
the story is not over. So I think next time we're going to look at the Shir HaMaalot, we start looking at those, and then we'll go on to look at the story of David in Divrei Yamim again. Was it, realizing that's happening simultaneous with the consequence of Bathsheba in terms of Amnon and Tamar and Absalom and Shimei ben Gera and the insults and exile, but that's all happening kind of it's happening simultaneously. We still have a lot more to do. I wish you a good night. Thank you for
Thank you,
paying
Danny.
attention.
Briefly, thank you for calling me and reminding me. I was like, I got distracted, and I really hear.